Good afternoon, everybody. My name is John Bandela, and I'm going to be talking about simple extensible pattern matching in C++ 14. Thank you all for coming out. Just a little bit about me. I first started programming in C++ after I convinced my parents to buy me Visual C++ 1.0 for my 14th birthday. After that, I went to undergrad at University of Florida, and then I went to medical school, and then did neurosurgery residency. This is me right there. This is actually from one of the surgeries. The patient right here had, an epilepsy, which is seizures from a part of the brain that couldn't be treated with drugs. Unfortunately, the bad part of the brain was right near the speech area, so we didn't want to take it out and make him not able to speak. So basically put him to sleep, open up the skull, expose the brain, then woke him up, and then had all these electrodes monitoring everything, and basically the neuropsychology people asked him a bunch of questions, like, can you identify stuff? And while we were probing different parts of the brain to identify what he actually didn't need that we could take out. All very cool stuff. After this, I decided to do something with a little bit less scary undefined behavior. So back to C++. All right, so our goals for this talk, we're going to have a very brief introduction to pattern matching. We're going to look at some existing solutions. And then we're going to design and implement the library, and then we'll have some question and answer time. Basically, the goal at the end of this talk is for you to understand how the library is implemented and have the feeling that, hey, I could do this myself. All right, so what is pattern matching? you can have several formal or less formal definitions. A good enough working definition is, instead of explicitly extracting and testing values, you specify what you want the value to look like, and then you specify an action to happen when that occurs. It's kind of like, you can think of it as a kind of level of abstraction of using regular expressions with strings versus using like stud find and, you know, matching and trying to match that way. How well does C++ 14 support pattern matching? C++ 14 supports it very well. It is probably in the top tier of support among widely used languages. Unfortunately, it's all at compile time. So at compile time, we've got function overloading, we've got partial overloading of template functions, we've got template specialization, we've got partial template specialization. It's all in the family of pattern matching, and it's actually quite good. At runtime, this is what we have, right? So not too hot. The good old switch statement, which you'll find somebody on Stack Overflow asking, why can't I use a string there, and complaining about what happened. Other languages, for example, Haskell, which is a functional programming language, they have pattern matching, which support several ways you can do it. So this is basically the equivalent of like a function declaration, and then you can actually pattern match in the function declaration. So ABC is actually a tuple that's built into the language. And so you're basically, to get the first part of A, you extract out the first thing and you ignore the rest here. And the other way you can do it, they have a case statement here. And these square brackets are a list, so an empty list, a list of one, or else a list of many. This is how Rust does it. So they have this match statement. So you have your pattern here, and then what to do afterward. This means basically is the otherwise, and that always matches. You can also do stuff with tuples. You can break them into parts and extract and test on those parts. And you can have algebraic data types. So you have like a enum message. So this is kind of like a variant, and you can have different parts, quit, change color, move right. And your match can extract and pull those out without having to do a bunch of if-else statements there. Just a plug for Yuri here in the audience. So there's actually a very nice pattern library already available. It's called Mach7. There were some very nice presentations about it last year at CppCon, and also at the C++ Now that you can watch online. It does a bunch of stuff. For example, here is an example from it, dealing with Boolean expressions. So if you have a Boolean expression, basically to kind of evaluate that type of thing. here's how you would set it up, and here's how the pattern matching would look like in this library. So my library is called Simple Match. As opposed to that, this is just made by yours truly. Mach 7 works with older compilers, I think as far back as Visual C++ 2010. This one is C++ 14 only, so basically you're looking at, I think, like Clang 3.6, GCC 5 series, and Visual C++ 2015. Simple Match has no macros. It's basically a library, no plans for any like future language features. And the focus for this thing is not at the moment on performance, but rather on clarity and simplicity. As Bjarne said, C++11 actually feels like a new language, and the implementation of it, so this is just, you know, WC-L and all the implementation files, was actually a lot less complicated and less code than actually I thought it would take. So, which is a testament to C++14. Just an example, the previous example of doing like the expression matching. Don't worry, like for this example, just, you know, this is here just for kind of reference. We'll go through it, and by the end of this talk, you'll understand every line, what it does, and how it's implemented. So basically, you basically declare your structs. We're using boost variant with recursive wrapper. So recursive wrapper basically keeps your space from blowing up infinitely. So you can reference stuff like have recursive structures using boost variant. Instead of like a val type, we just put in a bool. And then we basically inherit from std tuple. And then we basically are using the tuple constructors. Any questions about this, or that this should all be basically C++11 boost? And then this is what our eval function is. There's a couple of changes. I'm using the variant, Boolean expression, and I'm also, this is constant. So basically you do a match, and then you say what you want to match, and then you provide a lambda that tells you what to do. Like I said, at the end of this talk, we'll basically understand and be able to implement every line.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
The underscore names, where do they come from?
They are, yes, simple match placeholders. Alrighty, and just as an added bonus, if you forget something, some not expression, especially for this, just for this case mainly, you get this error message saying this type is not in the match, not expression. All right, so let's talk about how we go about designing and building this. So building blocks, there's some nice C++14 language and library features, function return type deduction, generic lambdas, and index sequence. Okay, so function return type deduction. Basically, the compiler knows what the return type of a function should be, and instead of having to write it out yourself, especially with generic code, it can become a lot easier and simpler just to put in auto and let the compiler do it. Generic lambdas. Instead of having to specify what the exact types of the lambda parameters are, you can put auto there or auto ampersand, and the compiler will deduce it for you, and you know, and you can use it as a generic. Index sequence is unless you're familiar with it, it seemed kind of like a little magical class for me, but basically you can call make index sequence, say like a 5, and get back this index sequence of 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll see where that is useful in just in a little bit. So the star of our show is std tuple. We will use that a lot, and it will provide a lot of help for us. All right, so this is what tuple, anybody here not familiar with std tuple? All right, so basically you can make a tuple, get extract stuff out of it. All right, anybody know what this is? All right, tuple cat. Basically, this is a really cool function that you give it two tuples, and it returns you back a tuple with everything put together in one giant tuple. Anyone know what this is? Stud tie. All right, this is the last one for a while. All right, anyway, so stud tie basically creates a tuple of L-value references. By the way, this is a really easy way if you want to implement lexicographical comparison for multiple types. You put an std tie and then do a less than, and it'll work out real nice. All right, apply. Apply is not yet in the C++ standard. I think it's proposed for like the one of the TSs. Standard experiment. Okay, so it's in there. This is what it looks like. It basically, you give it a function and a tuple, and it calls the function with all the all the arguments from the tuple.
Actually, isn't the standard as an example for index sequence?
Okay. All right, thank you very much. So I pulled this from like the N3915 paper, and basically this is what I'm using for the implementation here. So it's just straight up C++ 14. So as you can see, the trick is basically the index sequence with the integers. Basically, we can expand the parameter pack here to actually make the function call. All right, so let's go on. Let's talk about the core of the library. So the core of the library is a function called match, and match is a variadic function. So basically, the first part is basically the base case. So we take the t is basically the value that you want to match. Sorry, t is the value you want to match. A is basically your pattern. F is what you want to do afterward. So you call match check, passing in the value you want to match and the pattern. And if that returns true, you call apply, and with the result from match get, which you pass in the value and the pattern. And match get returns a tuple. So down here, basically this is the variadic form of it. It's a little bit different than a lot of times you may see, because there's no empty case. There has to be at least one match for it. So basically the same as before, except if we can't find it, we pass it on to the next thing. So this is basically what's called a first fit match. We match the first thing that fits. So the order is important.
Can I ask you something?
Yes. Actually, I think I now made a subclass for it, but this is just laziness initially. Yes, correct. There's a sub on the repo. There's a subclass now, but just for illustration. All right, match. So match check. Basically looks up matcher with the type of type of the variable and the type of the pattern. And based on that, it calls a static function check and get. So basically, this just passes it on. And this is what it looks like. As we go forward, we'll specialize this class and we'll get more stuff. Any questions about the core at this time?
How did you separate check and get?
In terms of... Correct. The reason is, I was going like one after the other. There may be a whole bunch of checks without gets, and it's like an if. So here it's, so you could combine into one, but you'd have to keep like some other parameter or whatever with it, and then for the other parts, you may not be able to return a nice valid tuple for it. Whereas this thing, you know that you can return something. Match check returns true that you're good. match check returns, hey, this map, we can go forward with calling a match get. This is a valid match. This matches this pattern. That's true. Correct. So here, match check, same as up here. And then if it doesn't match, instead of, we pass it on to the next thing. All right, any other questions? All right, so basically we'll start extending this core. So right now it's pretty useless. So we're gonna make it useful by specializing simple match. Matcher lives in customization, and that's also the customization hook for user-defined types. All right, so first of all, we're gonna start matching the same type. So match, say X is just some get int, gets you an integer. 1, 2, 3, if it's answer is 1, answer is 2, answer is 3. And this is what we do. We specialize matcher. Check is just if they're equal to each other, and basically return empty tuple. All right, so that'll work. Now, if you have a string and constant char, you know, the types won't match. So let's make this work as well. So, yes.
Could you have done that with string I on the enabling of the availability of the comparison operator?
Probably. You're correct. Yeah. So basically, just same thing as before.
All right.
Right, correct. Right, so yeah, we could probably do an enable if on it with a equals operator, correct. All right, so let's do otherwise. So this is basically the equivalent of a default in a switch, in a switch. So basically, so the underscore, it lives in simple match placeholders. So in placeholders, we have the struct otherwise T, where we create otherwise an underscore. And this is the match type. We just return true and return empty tuple. Everybody good so far? All right, some more interesting stuff. Let's match and be able to actually get what value that we matched, right? So placeholders underscore X. And basically, it'll come out so we can grab the X here, and we can output or do whatever we want with it. All right, so we have matcher predicate, which just holds basically a function object. And then we have this helper thing, make matcher predicate, that just type deduces it and creates the right type. And then we specialize match a predicate. Basically, we check returns true if the predicate returns true. And then for get, we just return, we tie it there, and so return like a tuple of one, whatever that matched. So then placeholders, we can have X, Y, and Z. They're basically simple, and you can add however many things. Now, there is no difference between X, Y, and Z in terms of how they're handled. So that just, you put XX or XY or XZ, there's no significance to that. All right, so let's do relational operators now. So 1, 2, we want to do X is less than 10, or say X is in between 10 and 20, and otherwise. And like I said, we can do different stuff. So we can do, if we wanted to, we can do the half open range or the other range. So this is just an example for operator less. Basically, all the other operators follow the same pattern. We compare a matcher predicate and a value, and then we return, we call the f the predicate function on the matcher predicate and the comparison operator. And this is just with those reversed. Any questions about this? And the reason it's that way is basically, I don't know, I thought this was a pretty nice range syntax. that was compact and easy to see at a glance what's going on. All right, any questions here? So these are the simple types. Here, then we'll extend on to compound types. All right, so here's the example. Like, remember what Russ did? Basically, you were able to split up the tuple and extract stuff. So that's known as destructuring. Basically, it's taken a larger structure, breaking it into its components, and then you can pattern match further on the components. For our case, we're going to use tuples as the underlying case. All right, everybody know FizzBuzz? So, yes. So FizzBuzz was actually by Reginald Brathwaite, and I think Jeff Atwood of Coding Horror is the one that popularized, at least for me. So basically, it's based on, I believe, a children's game, is that correct? From the UK, I believe. So basically, you have the numbers from 1 to 100. If it's a multiple of 3, you print Fizz, said the number. Multiple of 5, you print Buzz. Multiples of both, you print FizzBuzz. Otherwise, you print what the number is. So I guess it's a children's game. You go around the circle, and whoever messes up gets kicked out of the circle. All right. So there's a million ways to implement this. Here's a simple way to implement this with a match. So basically, make a tuple, I modulo 3, I modulo 5. If both are 0, FizzBuzz, 0 or anything, Fizz. Anything or 0, Buzz. And otherwise, we capture the I and output it. Any questions about this example? All right, so now comes the fun part of implementing this. So this is just like some adapters. This will help us in the future when we want to try to adapt a class to tuple. So basically, you have this simple match get tuple, which is basically the identity function for tuple, there's a const overload and non-const overload. And then you have tuple adapter, which has a static get function that takes the index, and then returns simple match get tuple and calls std get on it. Any questions about that? Everybody? Yes. It's going to be this guy right here. This is the easiest customization point, though this is also a customization point if this doesn't quite work for you. You're welcome. All right, so this is what our matcher is going to look like. So we find the tuple adapter from right here. And then tuple len size of args minus 1. We'll get back to why we do minus 1 in a little bit. And then we have our helper function. So basically, it takes the first position and then the last one. Basically, let's go on to the base case. So where the first is the last, so this is the last one at the end. So basically, it calls match check, and it pulls out the element of the tuple at position, and passes that to match check as the variable being matched, and it pulls out from here, it pulls out the pattern here and passes that to match check. And then get does the same thing here. So basically, with this, we can like compose stuff. So everything that we have access to with the simple types, we have access to in the tuple as well. All right. And then this is the general case. It does the same thing except it passes on to the pos plus one to the helper. Any questions? If there's any questions, interrupt me, stop me, raise your hand. We can, like I said, stop and talk and learn. All right. So check. So matcher. So these are the check and get things. Basically, calls helper check, forwards to that, and helper get. All right, and then when we want to, so we're going to create like a little helper function called destructure, and then basically takes all these arguments, make them a tuple. Now the reason we have this, and the reason we did the length minus, basically the size of minus one, when I tried to do this initially, it had an ambiguity between TT and this thing. So we add this extra type at the end that we just ignore, and that keeps this from happening. All right. So let's see. So how do we adapt a class? So we got basically a point class, X and Y, and we want to use it with this. So basically, let's create a matcher. If it's 1, 2, we output this. Otherwise, we output output this. All right. So basically, we can create a tuple passed to it, and create a point passed to it. It all works. So basically, this is how you'd customize a type that you were creating that you wanted to work with this. So you can do a constant overload if you want, but basically, this is all there is to it.
So,
yes?
Maybe I just didn't understand one. So you have to provide this, the simple match get couple.
Yes.
If you don't provide that, it doesn't work.
You had to provide this for your types that you want to use with it. Correct. Yes. Yeah. This is the customization point. So to be able to go in there. Yes. If you overload by, if we didn't overload for that, we would be able to do it. All right. Any questions about tuples? All right. So let's go on to pointers. So basically, everybody familiar with the maybe type or optional in functional programming? Basically, if you have an error, instead of throwing an exception, you can return a maybe, and then you can pattern match to determine what you want. Here's a little Haskell example. Basically, div safe, keep from dividing by zero. If it's just something, we say it. Otherwise, divide that. So it's just a nothing. So we can kind of treat pointers as an optional. So null pointer means nothing. Valid pointer, we can extract the value, and then we can do further matching on the extracted value. All right, so here's what we can do. So let's say we've got some unique pointers, nothing, 5, 10, 12, right? We match on it if it's a 5. So sum will act 5. Basically, we print out 5. We can extract the value from it, print it out. Sum by itself will give you basically, this will be int ampersand. And actually, and then it'll be a copy, but anyway. Output it, none means nothing. And the order is important here. If we had this at the first, the other two we never get through. Any questions about this example? All right. So we will go on. So for now, ignore this type right here, class. We will get back with that. So basically, we specialize matcher for sum t. So we basically defer to that matcher class to do the check and the get. And the same thing for none. We have a none t type. We'll defer to that. This is what it looks like. Like I said, ignore class. We'll get back to that. So check. So basically, for void. So that means, we'll see what this means. Basically, this means you do not pass any further patterns to it. So it calls pointer getter, get pointer no cast, forwarding this. If that's a null pointer, it returns false. Otherwise, it returns true. For here, we call the same thing, get pointer no cast. And we return basically a tuple with that pointer, S to D tie. If we have a matcher or a pattern with it, we do the same thing except for the check, we pass this on to the match check with the pointer as the value that we're testing and the match. Same thing with match get. Any questions about this? Yes. Correct. Exactly. And like I said, we're doing work twice, but like I said, Anyway, so none, there we call this is null for check, and get just returns nothing. All right, so this is what it looks like for a pointer. Return T, not T. And then for use with it, this is how we define none. Some with no parameters, and some where you pass the matcher. We pass a pattern to it. Any questions about any of this? All right, go ahead. Do you have a question?
I was kind of curious why you decided to have an empty sum instead of requiring some of the placeholders or even
like that. Yeah, that's a good question. The question was why we had an empty sum instead of sum with a placeholder. I guess I felt like it that day, and just shorter thing. I guess this was, just the sum none common case that may be useful, but like I said, it was basically more or less arbitrary. Any other questions? All right, so let's say we want to actually do unique pointer instead of just, the nothing.get. Same example as before, so we just specialize unique pointer. And there's a specialization for shared pointer too. So this, the same code right here will work whether you pass it a unique pointer, a shared pointer, a raw pointer. Same pattern. All right, let's have some with fun. All right, so let's say we have a base class called holder, and then we have a template, holder T, that takes a type, stores it, and then is derived from holder. Okay, we specialize the simple match get, have a simple match get tuple, just a little helper function. All right, so let's say we make holder 5, 10, and 3.4, and then nothing. So then we can basically say extract out of here only if this type is holder int. Extract if holder int, sum extract if it's anything. So this will be a constant holder and, if it's constant, or holder and x, and then if it's nothing. And then we can do further pattern matching. We can match if this int's a 5 or if you want to extract an x. Go ahead.
Yeah, but this example shows that sum underscore x might be the better syntaxable because it's asymmetrical.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Especially because
with the sum and the none, correct. Yes. All right, this is how we do it. So this is the class that we had before. So basically, our check and get are exactly the same, except instead of calling get pointer no cast, we call get pointer class right here. And here. Same for the type without the matcher, the controversial type here. All right, and this is the full specialization for pointer. So we're using dynamic cast. I think there's probably performance issues with this one, but like I said, the focus was on simplicity and clarity at this point instead of performance optimization. And then is null. All right, and this is the whole class of functions that you can use with it. So you can specify what class you want to do to extract out. All right, any questions about any of this? All right, next we're going to talk about integrating with the Boost libraries. So here's that safety function using Boost optional. And this is actually in the standard now, is STD optional, correct? I believe, at least in like a TS, experimental?
Experimental.
Yeah, experimental. Not 14, right, but potential 17 experimental. So. Example has a match too. If we're dividing by 0, return nothing here. Otherwise, return x divided by y. Sum, none. so the optional thing. And we can do safe div for it too. Like I said, you could do underscore x here. This is how we, this is the specialization for boost. What's the, so the pointer no cast, so this, notice this does not have the get pointer that takes a class because there's no way to like, you know, generic way to like extract it out of optional. So that'll fail. Only if you have like a sum with a template parameter. All right, remember holder T? Holder T is a poor man's version of what? Yes, boost any. Any is able to hold any type, allows you to query and extract the type which is previously stored. So we can then specify this for any. So any 5, 10, basically if it's an integer, extract it out. Same thing here with the sum int, none, we can do even more stuff if we wanted to further. And this is our specialization. So get pointer, so boost any cast, if you pass it like any star, it'll return a null pointer on failure instead of throwing an exception. And then we just, is null checks if it's empty. All right, this is the last one, I promise. Anyone know what that is? Yes? That was pretty bad. That's the last one, no more. All right, everybody familiar with boost variant? So it's a type safe union. It allows you to store one of a set of types, and get back what you stored. It can be recursive. And a common example, for example, is JSON, where you can have null, number, string, object, or any. So just a little bit of diversion into algebraic data types. If you really wanted to learn about them, David's talk yesterday was a great thing. He went through the whole thing from 0 to 1 to product to sum and with a bunch of mat symbols in there too. I don't have any mat symbols, just real small, just real simple. So basically a sum type is either a union or a variant, and a product type is a struct or a tuple. And then we can use pattern matching to break down the abstract, break it down further. This is the Rust example. So we have the, basically this is the sum type and these are product types. So it's a sum of products and you can break it and pull it out, what you want. So this is going to be our boost variant example. So just a very, very simple integer expression thing with add, sub, neg, and mul. So we create, anyway, so I create this variant, I think I changed the slide, so expression, same thing. Basically, variant recursive wrapper, and then we add, and then we define the actual class, the structs themselves. Same as what we did at the beginning. And then here's our match. So we can match on the expression, so make this actually, this should be math variant T. And then we can extract sum, sub, mul, or an integer, and extract the variables out of there. This is our specialization for variant. Get pointer, we just call boost get, and we pass it the, if we pass it a variant star, then we get back a null pointer if that fails. Sure, right here. All right, and then next, multi-methods. So simple example, paper, rock, scissors, right? All derived from a base. This can be applicable for a bunch of stuff, say like collisions or different, I guess collisions is also like another example for it. So basically, paper, rock, scissors, you can tie, that's a tuple, and then you can do some paper, rock, and so on for the next 7 more. Any other questions about everything that we've done so far? Yes.
I know this is a simplicity thing, but do you compare performance between this and just writing a similar matcher without all this type of stuff?
I did not do. No, I did not. All right, exhaustive patterns. So what happens if we forget multiplication? So pattern exhaustiveness, you make sure that the pattern match covers all possibilities. Haskell, I believe, throws a runtime error. Rust does exhaustive patterns at compile time. So this is a non-exhaustive pattern. So this is the error message we get with Visual C++ 2015. When we messed that up, and GCC 5.1. So how do we do that? It's not really magic. Basically, so here's how we do it. We'll go over kind of quickly. So we take this match, so basically the previous match that we had before, we'll move it to detail and rename it match helper. So this right here is the previous match helper. So we extract all the argument types. We look up customization exhaustive checker, see what the type is, and then we pass the argument types to the checker, and then we assert on checker value. So extracting out all the argument types, basically return a tuple with, you know, with just the pattern types, ignoring all the Fs. And then here, come down to here. So then we have this class called SumExhaustiveness. So in the type, we check if it has otherwise. If it's an otherwise, basically we're done. We basically specialize for something that says return true. Because if otherwise, it's always an exhaustive match. And then we have a SumExhaustiveness helper here, which is specialized for false, where there is no otherwise. We extract all the sum classes. We get that as a tuple. And then we call, there's a helper function which it's not in the slides, but basically it checks that all the required types are in all the sum classes. It's just a matter of some template metaprogramming, have a value there, and have a value here. Then for variant, we have this helper function here. We extract all the variant types. And then depending on which compiler you have and what the things are, I know with you had like, it's either the variadics or else you might have some, I think there's a boost null type or something that's appended to the end for those ones. So we just discard those for these ones, get that as a tuple, and then basically map some exhaustiveness to the type that we're using. So this is all available at GitHub JBanella Simple Match. And as my daughter says, most of the fun of building stuff is actually being able to talk about it with other people. So thank you all very much for attending this and giving me the privilege of talking about it. And I'll be happy to take any other questions. Thank you.
Can you go back one slide for the
GitHub? Sure. Yes. Go ahead.
So, as far as I can tell, at least, so this implementation doesn't support sort of unification, right? Like, if you specify, like, if you have a pair and you specify placeholder X for both of them, it won't match only.
Correct. Okay. No, it does not support that.
Could you envision a way of, like, given your current setup, sort of incorporating that?
Yeah, I actually thought about that. So it's having pair where both are the same type.
Right.
Instead of having to do the placeholder X, what I thought about doing was basically at the function level, you declare like a variable called unification variable and you give it a type. And then that type you'd pass, you know, say X, and then you'd pass that X as the pair. And the first time it did it, it would basically be like have a Boolean say, hey, it's basically like an optional in there, right? Whether it's been set or not. If it's not been set, you set it to whatever value you have. If it has been set, you compare it, and then you return true or false. So I think that's the way you could go about doing that. Does that make sense? Any other questions? Go ahead. Yes.
You would expect to have like some form of substitutability, where if you match one in the derived class and you have a case clause in the base class, that would match. But I didn't see like how you would get the same like if you have something derived from point, you can draw.
Okay. Correct. Okay. So point or holder, say, or you're talking. One second. I need to go up.
I think there are tools that have a search function.
Alrighty. So this one right here. Let's see. You're talking about.
So you have the composition for point, right?
Right.
Imagine I have now polar subset. Can
okay.
I still use match statement for match game polar
point? And that are derived. That would be derived from here, correct?
Yeah.
I believe you could because this takes it by reference there, and that's a and I believe that would match here, but you'd only get the first two out. Unless you specialize it for the other one.
That should be okay. But that's one maybe something you want to check. It's like I'm sure it will pass through the other template.
Right, but I think this may catch it here and then you could go from there. But yeah, that'll be definitely something I can check.
Also, I have a question about things. So I've seen a couple of libraries that also choose essentially lambdas to use for your right hand side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like match just the argument,
mm-hmm.
And then you have like dot case. So why did you choose like that versus you know like build an expression that way with dot cases? Any advantage to it?
I guess the only thing I was doing is I kind of like this format in terms of you know with the comma separated you in terms of instead of dot then I guess but that's a stylistic choice. That was the main reason.
Because another what I've seen in these other libraries that makes the syntax a little bit nicer. So you can then infer stuff from your lambda. Essentially, that BSXY, that's a duplication of information that you already have in the lambda.
Uh-huh.
You can try to infer that through template mechanism if you have a you know like a dedicated case or something.
Okay. Right. Okay. I guess the only advantage is this can be more complicated than just, you know, straight up arguments. Like it could be x is less than 1 and then.
Okay, but then usually you want that kind of composition for nested patterns. And you didn't mention anything about the nesting of patterns. So, how would you envision, like, in your system doing the when, for example, like in the argument, like add or times,
mm-hmm.
like you showed in the slides, would you be able to do that? Or
so you're talking about so this one right here? Yeah, you could, so X and Y are actually, so they'll give you this expression E. So then you could actually put like a DS in here, and then, so you could do DS, XY, so WX, YZ, you could do that if you wanted to.
What would that be the syntax for the lambda in the right hand side?
Would be XY, WXYZ.
So you just linearize them?
linearize. Yeah, everything I linearize, no matter how deep this is over here.
Okay. Where they would take a street, you know, like, and then the groups would be matched against the sub patterns. So, like, one thing we do is basically it's very easy to add, like, user defined patterns.
Right.
Like, so how much work do you have to do to add your own user defined pattern to interact with the rest of the
team? Basically, it's just a matter of specializing simple match, customizer, matcher. Define a type and then. For example, yeah, define a matcher type and whatever type you want, and then you can do whatever processing you want as long as you can do a check and a get.
Can you make any GitHub examples of this?
Sure. And yeah, and then the other thing, like I said, like you know, for what I thought about doing is like the NK plus one patterns, things like that. I can do that as an example. Any other questions, comments? All right, thank you very much.